This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Athos, I'm sure you know Optus is the only place to watch all 52 matches of the FIFA Women's World Cup live and on demand. Optus Sports coverage of the FIFA Women's World Cup is also available to Australian school kids at no cost. Simply visit an Optus store for further information or to redeem. Joining us now is former Matilda and Optus Sport expert across the Women's World Cup coverage, Ash Sykes. Ash, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is such a pleasure. How have you enjoyed the tournament so far?
I've been loving it. It's so exciting. You get to see like so many different countries and players play that you don't normally get to watch. As you mentioned, I think even if I wasn't involved in Optus, I'd be super keen about the coverage because it's never really happened before in Australia, getting to watch like all the different country, all the games, and being able to watch them on demand, especially because, you know, I'm not much of a night owl usually.
And it's one of the great things Optus does, and we know the mini matches and the highlights and the coverage is unbelievable. So for people like us who have to talk about it every day, it's brilliant coverage. Ash, from what you've seen so far, have there been any standouts of any goals or matches caught your eye as being spectacular recently?
There's been a couple of really interesting ones. I was on last night, Sweden and Thailand, and Thailand scored their first goal of the tournament after their 13-0 thrashing against the US. And just to see the joy on the coach and the manager's face on the sideline, they're crying and the fans are so happy. That goal in particular stood out for me. It was just a really special moment for them. In terms of games and contenders, I think I've been really impressed by France so far, and they've just been on a mission and clinical. And their game against Norway was a good, solid performance for them, I think.
And like you, it was so rewarding to see Thailand score their first FIFA Women's World Cup goal, and what a goal it was. But something a little bit more controversial on the back of that, where do you stand in the discussion about the US and after their 13-0 win against Thailand and them celebrating? Do you think that they should have done it the way that they did?
I think trying to tell Americans not to celebrate themselves and what they're doing is a pretty tough task. That's just the way they operate. And that's not meant as a slight against them. It's probably not a traditionalist sort of footballing view on how you should behave. I think the Thai coach has come out now and said that she thanks the US for the way that they conducted themselves on the field, and like that they were ultra professional. They went out there, they had a job to do, and they did that. And unfortunately, Thailand were on the receiving end of that. But the way that the players interacted with each other at the end of the game, you know, you could see Carly Lloyd chatting to the keeper. Alex Morgan was having a chat to Neil, who obviously she's from America as well as being Thai. I think they mean business when they're on the field, and some of those players have a reason to celebrate goals. You know, Mallory Pugh scored her first World Cup goal. But then as soon as the game's finished, they're gracious in victory as well. On this occasion they were. So it doesn't really, I think it's a tough one to watch if you're feeling really sympathetic, but if they're professionals, the Thais were professional as well in their conduct.
We're speaking to Ash Sykes, who's a part of that brilliant team at Optus Sport, where you can catch every game of the FIFA Women's World Cup. And Ash, the Matildas had a great win against Brazil, coming from behind in that second half. How much did we learn about the team and the character of the squad?
Oh, amazing character, wasn't it? From 2-0 behind. It's great fight. And I guess, I don't know that we learnt something from them. They just showed us again, like the attitude to never give up and to keep fighting and that determination. Like, it's so great to see. And I think it showed us that they're getting back in their groove, which is, I guess, it's good timing, and we'll get to see them again against Jamaica soon. But, and a couple of players really stood out, like Chloe Legazzo. She ended up getting player of the match, I think. Is that right?
Yes, she did.
Yes. So she scored a goal and No, hang on. She's
and what a goal. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's, I think she's really hitting her straps, and I think a few of the others are hopefully taking confidence from that win, and in particular their performance, so that, you know, they can carry that through the tournament.
And in that game against Brazil, Ante Milicic made two substitutes. One included 18-year-old Canberra local, Carly Rosbacken. How happy were you to see her finally cap for Australia?
Stoked, yeah. She's a gem. She's been working so hard. I mean, I think everyone there works really hard at their game, obviously, but I get to see Carly work so hard during, you know, in particular in the off seasons and at her time at Canberra United. She's always trying to make herself a better player, and she keeps stepping it up, and it's so exciting to see, you know, such a humble, determined person make her debut. And she's got a long way to go in her career and a long way to go in her developing her game still. She's, you know, she's 18. She's got plenty of room for improvement. But I'm just so happy for a late call up into the squad and to get on the pitch. I was excited.
And it's stories like that which makes the World Cup so great. And she's got plenty of great players to learn off. The Matildas play their final group game Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. Australian Eastern time. So not a bad time for us here in Australia. They play Jamaica, who is almost the great unknown in this group. So how do the Matildas prepare for an opposition they really don't know too much about?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Luckily, they're playing them third in the group, so they get to see a couple of games beforehand and how they play. So I think they'll be approaching this game based on that video. And, I mean, people have been talking about goal difference, but I don't think that they should be thinking about that. They should just be looking to build on the momentum and their performance and the process and how their game's looking. And I think goals will come as part of that, and just shoot for the win and see what happens, because, you know, you get the win, you're through to the next round, and that's the most important thing, and you hope that the other results, I think, fall your way, because, you know, you can't really control what happens in the Italy-Brazil game, but you can control how you play against Jamaica.
And that's the most important thing, that the Matildas perhaps not to worry about all the other things going around. That's more our job externally. But you yourself were at the World Cup in 2015. What were some of the things that you learned? Because as we can imagine, World Cups are a totally different beast to regular season football.
Yeah, it's a high pressure sort of situation. And it is really, well, my experience of it, you know, we were in camp like 6 months more leading up to it. Like, there's all this build up to it. You're putting pressure on yourself to play well, and everyone wants to do well at the World Cup, and then the spotlight comes on you for the tournament, and this tournament has shown that there's even bigger spotlight on them, and then it's a real pressure cooker environment at the team hotel. You know, everyone's probably sitting around chatting about what they've seen and how they're reacting to it, and everyone's trying to fight for positions and trying to fight for, you know, game time, as well as being supportive of each other. And it's a tough time, really, if you want to try and perform at the World Cup, which the Matildas do. But I think there's a good bunch of girls there, and everyone will have their own way of coping with the pressures that come along with the World Cup. And for those players like Carly, who are kind of new to it, they've got plenty of good people to learn off to try and grow and cope with any pressures that come with that.
And there certainly has been a lot of pressure, especially following that loss to Italy, where many of us were asking some questions about the Matildas, and they responded quite well against Brazil. Is that the narrative following the Matildas at the moment, that internal expectation versus the outside noise?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, they're all really driven players, and they all want to do well. And I think part of a growing profile is the rest of the public want them to do well. Like, there's so many supporters out there of the Matildas, really willing them to do well for themselves and for the country, and what that means for the country's football, for women and for men as well. So there is pressure, but I think, I don't know, I think shutting out the outside noise is an important point. Like, if you're listening to everything that's happening around outside, your emotions and your mindset's going up and down and this way and that way, and you're getting dragged around. But if you can focus on the opinions that really matter. Like, they shouldn't really be listening to what I think about their performance, because what I think doesn't really matter at the end of the day. What the coaches think, what their teammates think, they're the most important things. And if you can shut the rest out, I think it really, well, personally, I think that will help your performance.
And how have you assessed Ante Milicic at the helm?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of positive things about Ante. I mean, it's hard. I've never seen him coach up until now, but a lot of, and previously he was a lot assistant coaching. I think he's been thrown a tough hand here, coming in a bit late, and he's doing his absolute best. Great guy, great tactician, and I think we saw the improvement from game one to game two. You know, saw some flaws in the first game, and he's gone away and revised them for the second game against Brazil, and it worked a lot more effectively. So you can see the process there for Ante, and hopefully, you know, that can keep moving forward using the game against Jamaica, and they've got the individual superstars to make a difference, and it's just getting the framework right around them.
And in terms of team news ahead of the game against Jamaica, Ash, do you think that Ante Milicic will rotate his squad quite heavily, or will he keep it pretty much the same?
It's a tough question, isn't it? I mean, if you look and see that if we had gotten the result against Italy, then it might move leave a little bit more room for tinkering with the lineup and resting players and that sort of thing in this game. And I guess he still probably has that luxury. Like, I think there's players in the squad that can come in and perform really well and get us a result. So I don't think there's an issue with that. It's just, you know, some players play well if they just have a bit of continuity. Some players might need a rest, and you kind of got to take in the individual aspect of it. I think a few players skipped out on training today, not skipped out, but had a rest. which makes me think that he's probably going to keep it a pretty similar lineup. Maybe he'll play with the forward line a little bit, which is where he's been, shuffling around Rasso and Gilnick, and Lisa Devana's come off the bench there as well. So I'm interested to see what he does with those attacking players in particular.
Yeah, the Matildas face their final group match against Jamaica Wednesday morning. And a manager who Australian football fans will be very familiar with is Tom Samani. He is in charge of the New Zealand team at this World Cup. They came so close to getting a result against the Netherlands and went down 2-0 to Canada. It feels like he's making a real positive impact at this New Zealand team.
Yeah, he's such a great coach. He's actually one of the coaches that found me when I was playing out in Dubbo, and my sister as well. So I really fond place for Tom, and we'd be coming back from camps in Sydney, and he'd let us hang out at his place until the next flight to Dubbo came around. So he's a great people person, great person manager, and I think that's probably what New Zealand needed at that stage. You know, they'd gone through a bit of a turbulent time. Abby Erceg and a few other players had stepped away from the national team, and he's managed to entice them back to play for the World Cup. I think that shows what kind of manager he is. And, you know, we don't normally cheer for New Zealand, but at this stage I'm cheering for them to get a result against Cameroon in their next game. Hopefully they can get their first win of the World Cup.
Yeah, well, the next round of matches are not too far away. And Ash, aside from Australia, which game are you most looking forward to? Because I'm looking at this USA versus Sweden match, and I just can't wait to see who finishes on top of that group.
Yeah, it's such a juicy looking one, isn't it? They've got such a big history against each other too in major tournaments. You only need to look back to see in the 2016 Olympics. That was when Hope Solo got in trouble for some comments after the match. But I am looking forward to as well Japan versus England. I think that group has got a bit to play for, with Argentina and Scotland as well. I'm really interested to see how that one plays out, and it'll be another good test to see where, in particular, Japan and England are at. Looking forward into the tournament.
Ash, one final one before I let you go. Can you tell us your top four? Who do you think will finish in the top four at the Women's World Cup?
Oh, man. That's a tough one, especially with who's gonna finish where on the tables. Originally, I would say, like, if you just rank the best teams so far, I reckon it's France, England, America, and the Netherlands for me. But I think I think the US and France will come up against each other in the quarterfinals, which kind of knocks one of them out. So I'm not really sure who the next team that comes in. I don't know. Italy's looking so good at the moment, aren't they?
They are. I'm interested to see how they'll go against Brazil on Wednesday morning.
Yes, that'll be very good for them. Another good test.
Well, Ash, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR, and enjoy the rest of the FIFA Women's World Cup, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks. You guys enjoy it too.
We will. And don't forget to set the alarm and tune into Optus Sport on Wednesday morning from 4:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time to see the Matildas take on Jamaica.